that lets you save them.
Look here.
True Form Life.
Green look on.
Welcome to Exploring Mind and Body with Drew Tatia. Drew is an expert in nutrition, fitness, lifestyle, and more. And he wants to help you live a healthier, longer, and more active life. Now here's your host, Drew Tatia.
Welcome to another edition of Exploring Mind and Body. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of our True Form Life community. Now we have a different format here. We actually went live in studio at 96.5 CKFM and we streamed this through Facebook on a number of different channels. So we are all over the place. We're in Sussex. We're in a couple stations in Ontario and then a couple stations in Alberta as well. So pretty cool to be nationally syndicated and be able to do things like this. So I brought Christina Ray in, and she's been working with me for a number of years. And she actually is asking me questions all around kids' health. So you're going to hear us pretty well just live talking in the studio, and you can actually watch the video. So if you head over to exploringmindandbody.com/kidshealth, you can watch Christina and I in studio. And we do fun things like this all the time. We're always trying to keep you engaged and interested in what we're doing. So more details are on my Facebook page at facebook.com/trueformlife. So other than that, we got all kinds of suggestions and tips and questions coming from Christina and answers by me. So I hope they help you learn a bit more about kids' health. Sit back and enjoy. Got all that coming up.
This is Exploring Mind and Body. Naturally improve your lifestyle one show at a time with your host, Drew Tatia.
And we're live, nationally syndicated, Exploring Mind and Body. We are on a handful of stations all across Canada, and we're rocking it live right here in studio. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for having me, actually. The opposite pleasure. This time.
Is this okay right here?
I think this is perfect. I think we're good.
I haven't been on this side of the mic since, like, my first year of being on air.
Yeah, Jameson used to do that with you.
Mm-hmm. It was like 5 years ago.
Holy smokes. Time flies when you're having fun.
All right, so today we're talking about kids' health.
Right? Yeah, that was something that I was really wanting to know more about, and I figured who better to tell us than Drew Tatia.
Okay, so before we get into the questions, just let me explain that this is a topic that I usually stay away from.
Okay.
Only because like everyone has different circumstances, everyone has different situations, everyone has different families, everyone has different upbringing.
I just think if we come in with a different mindset, maybe a little bit open in trying new things, and I suppose just having an open mindset and knowing that my information or advice isn't maybe directly for everyone, but just something to consider maybe.
Like a guideline almost.
Yeah, that'd be a good way to say it.
Awesome.
Sure.
Well, I've got lots of questions.
Let's do it. I'm ready. I like questions. I'm ready for it.
Got a stepdaughter of my own. And one of the things that we deal with is a food intolerance. So it's not on the extreme of a food allergy, but it's like a gluten and a dairy intolerance. So I kind of want to know, what's the biggest difference when you're talking about intolerances and allergies?
So an intolerance is something that's, I suppose, it's almost like an allergy, but just not as extreme. So intolerance isn't usually, doesn't have anything to do with like serious death or injury, let's say. But at times you do have allergies that can cause like major issues or even death. That's extreme cases of allergies. And then the other one, another example or comparison is allergies usually come on instantly. So if you can tell by a child who has a peanut allergy, like it's instant. Their eyes start to swell up. Their nose starts to get congested, which is a whole lot different than an intolerance. So an intolerance is they might, you know, might come on slowly, or they might have a small type of effect, like maybe their nose just itches and they're not quite sure. It's not a full-blown allergy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other another way that you can tell if it's a intolerance or an allergy is that it's come on slowly, and it doesn't come on all the time. Like in intolerances, sometimes it bothers them. Sometimes not, just hasn't turned into a full-blown allergy. And allergies is, you know, it's immediate. You can tell right away.
Cool. Good to know. Any tips on dealing with both?
When we're getting into the meat and potatoes of our show here is that just paying attention to the quality of foods that we're feeding our children. Like I'm not saying that it's always the foods that we're feeding them. I'm just saying that if we start to pay attention to better quality, for example, like peanut butter, I think peanut butter would do a whole lot better in many of our homes if we looked at, read the ingredients. So peanut butter should have one ingredient, peanuts. Unfortunately, many times we have peanuts, you know, peanut types of products that have
sugar.
Well, sugar, yeah. And it has like different kind of like hydrogenated oil, for example, like 8 different ingredients in one container, and it should be peanuts. That's it.
Yeah.
So I think that if you're looking at like peanuts is it's a top allergen. So if you look at peanuts, for example, I think if we looked at better quality, that would certainly help. I'm not going to say that's going to wipe out allergies or peanut allergies. I just think if we look at better quality through, doesn't matter what it is, what other types of allergies we have, but if we paid attention to those better quality foods, I think we'd have less allergies as a whole.
The next thing is activity. All the kids, they've got their iPads, they've got their technology, they've got your TV, and they don't want to go outside. Do you have any tips as to how to get kids motivated and get them going outside and active?
Yeah, this is a tough one for me because I'm not such a big technology person. I think that technology really has taken over so many different avenues. Like communication is one of them. So instead of I knocked on some friends' doors the other day, just knocked on their door and said, "Hey, how you doing?" And of course they were like, I would have been, they kind of opened up the door, looked to see who it was, like, "Oh my gosh, what are you doing here?" Because we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
When we were kids, we would run down the street and we'd knock on our friend's door and say, "You want to come out and play?"
Yeah.
Or ask their parents, but we don't do that anymore.
No.
Like even the littlest kids, they grab their own phone or they grab their parents' phone and say, "Can I text so-and-so to see if they can play?"
Yeah.
And usually if they want to play, it's like you sit next to each other and you play video games
together. Yeah, you set up a play date and then you go and, actually just sit. You're right.
Yeah, so I think that's important to understand that technology has taken over a bit and by setting guidelines around that technology. So maybe it's you have an hour of, I don't know, whatever they play now. You play have an hour of you're playing on the iPad or you're playing on the computer. And then you have to match that up. You have an hour to go outside and play. And I think it's just important, like for the parents, like we're such big role models for our children.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a lot to do with nutrition and food as well as activity. So if you want your child to go outside and play with them or encourage them to say, "Hey, I'm going to go out for a walk. I'm going to take the dogs for a walk. Do you want to come with me?"
That's a good idea.
Another one is just going to the playground. You want to go to the playground. I posted something like this on social media and someone said they play kick the can. We used to have a tennis ball. We got all the kids from the neighborhood and we kicked the tennis ball around. But I heard that was still going around because, you know, I mentioned something about parks. Like a lot of times you drive by parks and they're empty. It could be a beautiful day. And I think, where are all the kids? Like the neighborhoods that we grew up in, the parks were jam packed. And now I think it's so much easier to have an iPad, to have a laptop or a video game or whatever that may be, and just to sit inside. So I think it's important to lead by example, go out and get active yourself, and then encourage your children to join you.
True Form Life.
So those were some suggestions on how you can encourage your kids to get more active. I truly believe it begins with us and setting that example for our children and welcoming them to join us instead of sending them out the door and saying, you know, go play yourself. Sometimes they need encouragement. Sometimes we need to lead by example. So when we come back, we're going to take a short break here, but Christina's going to ask me about bedtime. When to send your kids to bed, maybe bedtime routines, and how to help them get a good night's sleep. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on Exploring Mind and Body. Sometimes a show once a week or even twice a week just isn't enough. So if you want more content, if you want to know more about what we're doing at True Form Life, you can find us on Facebook. We're on there posting at least twice a day in the morning and the evening. That's at facebook.com/trueformlife. Or on Instagram, that's kind of my favorite platform. I like to post my food pictures and some of the activities that I do, maybe hiking or whatever that may be. And that's just at Drew Taddea on Instagram and then Twitter as well. That's at True Form Life. So we're highly active. We'd love to connect with you. So find us on your social media platform and let us know how you're enjoying our show. True Form
Life. Okay, this is one that creates a strife in households, I'm sure. Bedtimes. What are healthy bedtimes for kids? I know it changes based on the ages and stuff, but like how much sleep should a kid get or how can you encourage them to make sure that they get enough?
All right, so let's start with adults for example. Okay. I think everything starts with us. Because again, we're going to influence our children or the younger generation the most. So if we, like we adults should have 7 to 8 hours of sleep. And that's, you know, numerous studies, regardless of how many people say, oh, I only need 6 hours of sleep. I only need 4 hours of sleep. We should have 7 to 8 hours of sleep for optimal health. So again, by leading by example and showing our children that we're getting a restful night's sleep, I mean, it just changes our entire day to feel. We all know what it's like to sleep for, you know, 3 hours in a night, being woken up, going back to sleep, and then waking up and trying to get on through the day. So think about the opposite of that when you have a good night's sleep. When you sleep well, you feel great, you get up and you're energized. It's completely different. Well, it's no different with children. Like, children need to have those hours of sleep. Now, it's difficult to say how many hours are, because it changes through every age group. But like, let's say, for example, I wouldn't call college students kids or children, but they need sleep too. And, you know, we've been to college and, you know, you don't sleep a whole lot. We have horrible sleep habits, and then that translates or moves on to adulthood. But it's the same thing if you go down the road. So if you have younger kids that have sporadic sleep habits, sleep a couple hours a night or 6 hours, 6-7 hours, they don't get, at a younger age, they need more sleep. So 10 to 12 hours of sleep. And it's very important for the young minds to develop properly to get enough sleep. So you're just setting habits. And as they get up, as they grow older, as they become an adult, then they have those. I just think there's so many benefits to having that upbringing of having proper habits, especially when it comes around sleep, because when they get older, they're going to have to learn how to do that anyways.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So now, would you encourage them, because lead by example as well, the parents going to bed at a normal time. And what about keeping the house nice and quiet? Is that something that parents should do to encourage like a longer uninterrupted sleep, or is there any say towards that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, parents have to be on board, right?
Yeah.
So if you send the kids to bed and you're watching some loud action movie, it's not going to work out so well. They're like, Mom, Dad, what's that noise? Go back to bed. So yeah, of course, I mean, that's going to play a role. But I mean, those healthy habits, I think that, again, we need to lead by example. So having those healthy habits in the evening. So instead of watching an action movie or watching like, you know, stimulants, like maybe it's a horror, like we say, why don't you have a nice relaxing book? So if someone's reading like a horror book, I mean, that's not going to help you sleep, right?
Yeah.
So we need to lead by example as adults and show our children that we have healthy habits as well. So instead of falling asleep watching TV, we turn the TV an hour early. And now when I tell people that, I tell my audience that, they're like, who does that? An hour early.
You Netflix and chill.
Yeah. That's cutting into my relaxing time, right? But if you turn off that TV an hour early and you do something relaxing, but again, it's like I said, this is again leading by example. So if we pull out a puzzle, if we pull out a coloring book, if we put on relaxing music, maybe you dim the lights and turn on some Himalayan salt lamps, you're creating a whole different atmosphere for your child and yourself to get into a more restful sleep state. Because I think, you know, when years and years ago, we used to fall asleep when the sun went down.
Yeah.
And we woke up when the sun came up. So if you could kind of replicate that a little bit, it'd be a whole lot easier for all of us to better adjust to going to sleep at a certain time. And then going back to technology, it's the same thing. Like, you know, playing video games or playing right before bed, I mean, that's going to be an issue.
So now, rituals, do they help at all?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of what I was talking about. Like, kids thrive on rituals. When, let's say,
routine.
Let me take a what's that?
Routine.
Routine, yeah. Let's take a step back and we'll call it a habit. Then it's a habit, then it's a routine, then from a routine, it's a ritual. So all a ritual is something that you don't think about. It's something that we do over and over again, and it's almost like a knee-jerk reaction or an automatic reaction. This is what we do. So let's say, for example, when I look at adults, for example, and I like to study. I believe that there's a path to success. So I like to study successful people, business owners, you know, parents, whatever that may be. People have been successful before me. So if you look at success, the most successful people in the world have morning routines, which you could call their ritual. So now I'm not saying that you're not successful if you don't have a morning routine. All I'm saying is that if you look down the line, most highly successful people have some sort of morning routine. So, or you could call it a ritual. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we should have. Like, I have a very strict morning routine that I love. I wake up and I can't wait to do it every morning. That has a lot to do with health, getting my mind ready for the day, and getting my mind ready to take on whatever I set my sights on probably the night before, because I have an evening ritual as well. So, but it's the same difference for kids. If you start to give them a morning routine, so if they know they're getting up, and let's just get crazy here and say they're going to have a green smoothie. If you know that if they're getting up, they know they're going to have a green smoothie. Then it's time for breakfast. Then it's time to pack your bags or pack your lunch and get ready for school. That's their morning routine. They know what they're expecting. They know what they're getting into. So it's not like, oh, I don't want to do that today. It's like, well, we do it every day. So let's just do what we do every day. It's going to make it a whole lot easier. And like I said, I like to bookend the days. So you do the same thing in the evening. So if we have that kids help us with lunch, for example, mm-hmm. it's a whole lot different. It's a different mindset for them. It's a whole different energy around food and lunches and being prepared for the day. So instead of, you know, many times I went to school with so many kids in college. They didn't know how to do their own laundry. They didn't know how to pack their own lunches. Most of us didn't know how to prepare dinner. And that has a lot to do with how it was when we were upbringing. And I'm not one of those people that say it's your parents' fault. All I'm saying is if we were taught at a young age how to do those things, we would be more prepared later in life.
Kids, they have a lot of more going on because of technology and all the different things that are around them. Their minds maybe aren't as healthy as they maybe once were. They've got a little bit more stress going on in their lives. Any tips for keeping kids' minds healthy and spiritual state okay?
Yeah, I mean, when you say spiritual state, like, I think it's important to recognize that everyone's in a different position, whether it's spiritual, you know, religion-wise, how we pray, how we meditate. And I think that regardless of where you're at, so if we say like getting into a proper routine in the evening, say you sit down and do some breathing exercises and you stretch in the evening, and that's a routine, that's a morning ritual, that's going to make their minds healthier. So that's going to give them a better chance to learn when they go to school the next day instead of blasting a TV all day long or all night long. Then you struggle to get them to bed, and then they wake up after 6 hours of sleep trying to get ready and get their mind ready for school. So maybe breathing exercises is something to get into a routine, stretching. So you could call that yoga, or you could just call it regular stretching and getting them to stretch in the evening. Like I said, dimming the lights and playing some soft music. I think that all stimulates the mind. It helps them get into a better routine, so they're better able to learn. And then they have, like, you hear those stories like of Tiger Woods, for example, of course, super successful in the core of his career. And he grew up meditating as well. And I think that, you know, of course, that helped him get to where he was at one time. Mm-hmm. And I think that we would have such an advantage in life if we had maybe morning routines of like stretching in the morning and breathing, and then bookending that at the end of the day and doing the same types of things, like waking up, for example. So instead of waking up, like turning on the TV, like turning on the news, maybe you turn on some loud music, you turn on all the lights. Like, that's a really different way to get up. Mm-hmm. And you're setting your day up much differently than you would if you put on some relaxing music. If you put on a little, like, again, I love the salt lamps. Mm-hmm. If you put on a salt lamp to wake up the same way you do as when you go to sleep, and then you slowly progress through your day instead of, like, we all know what it's like to
Woo!
Wake up. Yeah. We all know what it's like to be like, oh my gosh, I'm late for work, late for school. So if we could get up like that every morning, we'd have a better opportunity to have success throughout the day.
One of my nieces came over for the weekend, and our daughter is a really great eater. My niece wasn't the best. She's a little picky, and she admitted it. She said, you know, I'm picky. I don't eat a lot. How do we deal with that and get more healthy foods in? Maybe sneakily if you have to.
Oh, man, this is a tough question. There's many different ways to go about having or dealing with picky eaters. So first of all, like, the very first thing I have to say is that, again, it starts with us. So if we don't eat, like, I had a friend, for example, and he had a younger daughter, and he said, she never eats greens, won't eat anything green. And I've known him for 10, 15 years, and I've never seen him eat anything green.
Yeah,
so I said to him, have you ever, do you eat anything green in front of her? And, you know, we argue back and forth. But the truth of the fact of the matter is he rarely eats anything green. So when she sees something green and she can't relate that to anything, any loved one in her life, for example, or a parent figure that they look up to, there's nothing to connect that with. So why would they eat that? There's no reason to. So that's the first one, lead by example. So if you want to, you know, have children have a more variety and not be so picky and struggle with them later on in life with getting better foods in them, we have to lead by example and show them that we eat those foods too. That's the first thing that I would say. The next thing I would say is start them off very young. Like, the younger that you can get them started off, the better they're going to be. I had this fantastic interview It was through a holistic nutritionist. She was actually a raw foodist, and she was teaching her children. She fully wanted to give her child the benefits of choice, to choose raw foods or to choose cooked foods as they got older, but she wanted to introduce them to raw foods as well. So she would do little things like a ritual was a good one. So they would have relaxing herbal tea in the evening. She, when they were young, she would dip her finger in raw sauerkraut and just rub their gums with it. So this is already changing their taste buds. Yeah. So when they get a little bit older, they're like, what is that? I'm not going to eat that. So starting off at as young an age as possible, that's going to make a big difference. Another one is having them being involved with food. So when you go to the grocery store, we say, this is the list. Like, this is the grocery list of what we're going to purchase. Can you go find these things? Or, you know, why don't you help me load the cart? Help me load the bag, whatever it is. Like, kids want to be involved. They want to help. So I think many times it's easy to say, you know, I'm rushed. I don't have time to get through the day, or I don't have time to go to the grocery store. But that's such an important lesson to teach our children, where that food comes from. How it's grown, what it tastes like, what it looks like. So it's not like when you put it on the plate, they're like, what is that? Never seen that before. And that's a big one. So coming back to helping you prepare lunches and being prepared for the day, having them be involved in making it a fun night, like Friday night, we're going to make our own pizza tonight. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a billion ways on how you can make healthy pizza yourself at home that takes 30 minutes. So having them involved and making it a fun night, I think, will make a big difference as well.
So getting them involved in the cooking process too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, we have to be careful of what age they are, and then we have sharp objects. But there's things we can do, like you chop it up and they pick it up and put it in the bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, you spread the pizza sauce on. I mean, it's going to be fun. There's going to be pizza sauce all over the place. Yeah. So if you get them involved in the more ways you can around food, the more open they are going to be to trying different things, like avocados, for example. I've worked with tons of people that have never seen or tasted an avocado before. But if you introduce that to children at a young age, then they're going to know what it is, going to know what it tastes like. Then they'll have a better understanding of if they like it or not. I think many times, even as adults, we try it one time. And then the same thing with children. We try it one time and we're like, oh, I don't like that. Never try it again. But if you give it an honest chance, then you have a better opportunity of getting through those, being a picky eater or dealing with picky eaters that are children at a young age.
One of my favorite things with our daughter is we'll make something together. And the first bite, you can tell she's like, I'm not so sure. But then I'll say things like, isn't that delicious what you made? You did such a good job. And she'll be like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it'll just change her whole perception. It's funny to watch.
Yeah, and that's something that we don't think about, but it's so encouraging because you have a positive reinforcement. So instead of being like, ooh, it's green broccoli, you hear that all the time, or green foods like spinach, who eats that? But if you say it like the way you say it, like if you encourage them and give them positive reinforcement, they're so much more likely to be like, oh, wow, you're right. I do love this.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, it is pretty good. So the other thing is our homes. I've read a lot of articles that talk about how all the different chemicals and all the things in the air are making us probably more unhealthy than we should be with all the cleaning products and stuff. How do we keep our homes more healthy for our kids?
You know, environment is such a important subject when it comes to like everything, like our home life. Like when I talk about stress, often we have three big categories of how to reduce stress: through exercise, our environment, and then the nutrition that we're putting in our body. And environment is one of those three staples or pillars that I always talk about. And it's so important when it comes to children because, I mean, that's their safe place. That's their haven. Like, that's where they learn how to, you know, prepare breakfast. That's how they learn how to eat dinner. They're constantly mimicking you as a parent. They're going to watch what you clean your cupboards with. They're going to watch what scents that you have. Like, instead of, like, there's many different options. Like, we can burn a nice candle, for example, with some essential oils, you know, instead of putting a bunch of synthetic sprays around the house, which is toxic to our bodies, to our environment, and children as well. Like TVs in the bedroom, for example, we don't think about that, but that's difficult as well, because if the TV's always on, we tend to have more sleep issues. We certainly sleep shorter amount of time, and I would say that's more of a distraction or a stimulant regarding our environment, and we need more calming things, more natural things in the house, like things that can move the energy, like plants. Like, plants are living, breathing. So I would say get rid of all the plastic plants and start to put real living plants around the house. Mm-hmm. Like, I've recently put a fish right next to my desk, And it doesn't seem like much, but when I feed the fish, it's one of those little fighter fish.
Yeah.
And I feed the fish and I just watch him, and he swims around and he eats his food, and it's almost calming, and it is medicinal in some way as well, because that's a way that first of all, the fish is moving energy around because it's living and it's moving. And just by watching it, I think many times we stare at like a computer all day, and myself, I do it often because I do a lot of my work from home. But by just taking your sights off and focusing on something else and just recognizing how peaceful something like a little fish could be, mm-hmm. can change your day. And I think it's so important for children to have that opportunity to, you know what it's like to water a plant. Mm-hmm. Or know what it's like for a plant to die and have to replace it, and teach them how to keep them living, because they're living, breathing organisms. Same thing with the fish. And like, lights is a big one. We always have bright lights all over the house, so dimming lights certainly help the environment. I'm a big believer in non-toxic cosmetics, and I like the bathroom, for example. Like, the bathroom by far has the most toxins. many times we think it's like the kitchen. But it's the bathroom, so it's our cleaning supplies, it's the things that we put on our body, the things that, like the soaps, and unfortunately, a lot of those conventional types of products have chemicals in them that our body doesn't exactly enjoy. Mm-hmm. So I think those are important topics to understand and know that those all affect ourselves and our children in different ways, usually positively or not so positively. And I probably wanted to say this at the beginning, but I think parents do such an incredible job. Like, parents are like superheroes. Like, they have their job and they have like their recreation, and then they have to take care of a little human being. Like, it's crazy. And like, they have such a big influence on children. So I think that, you know, parents do, many times we do the best that we can, whether it's a parent or you don't have kids, or we do the best that we can every day throughout life. And, you know, parents have such a difficult job because of all these different influences around to continue to keep your kids healthy, to keep them nutritionized properly, to keep them active. Like, it never ends. So I think that, you know, parents do a great job all around. It's just making those small adjustments and then helping them with, I don't know, tips and tricks and tools to help them. You know, it's a difficult society that we live in. Like, how are you going to say, no, I'm not going to give you a cell phone, or you can't have an iPod, when all of their friends do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's constant challenges that parents deal with on a regular basis. So I think parents do a great job to begin with, but adding some of these tips and suggestions could certainly help. And I think that negotiation is a big word. Like, instead of saying, you know, and the kid, you know, it's kind of crazy. Kids are like born negotiators.
Yeah.
Like, they're like so tiny, and they're like, well, if you give me that, can I have that? But I think it's important to understand that, like, we fuel that if we let them negotiate with us. Understand that they're not the boss and they don't get to negotiate with us. So we need to let them know, like, no, this is the way we do things. And like, dessert's another one. Like, I'm not a big fan of external rewards, for example. So I'm not like a negotiator, like, well, you eat half of that broccoli and I'll give you dessert. Like,
mm-hmm.
Because then you put the emphasis on dessert.
Yeah.
Now dessert is the prize. It's the goal, instead of understanding or helping them understand that broccoli is going to help them, give them more energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to nutritionize their body. It's going to help them grow up big and strong.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the opposite. Like, we should get away from rewarding something as dessert and negotiating. And we should negotiate with healthier options.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when we were little, we would go outside and we'd say, parents would say, you have to come in at so-and-so time. Like, no, I want to stay out later. And now it's like almost a punishment. Like, get outside. Eat your greens. We have to do this. We all want to be in control. We want to all have a say. So instead of saying, the kid says, well, I want to have ice cream for dessert. Well, we have raw chocolate that we made at home. That's, you know, that's clean and healthy. It's all clean ingredients. We have a raw chocolate that we made at home. Or we have a homemade ice cream, let's say. That made from fruit. I have this fantastic little machine that you put in frozen fruit.
The Yonanas.
Yeah, that's
it.
Yeah. That's awesome. And it's just frozen fruit.
Yeah.
It's unreal. So you have, instead of the child choosing what they get, you say, well, you have the choice between raw chocolate or you have ice cream.
Yeah.
Frozen fruit.
Yeah.
So it's a choice, but no choice. But you still give them the option to say, I want that one or that one. If they say, I don't want either, I want that one. Say, well, that's their choice. They don't get to choose which one they get. Like, letting them have an option, or letting them think they have a more option or more choice than they do will certainly help them move forward and learn how to make choices as they get older. Because even as adults, sometimes we don't know how to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
I think that comes from early on when choices were made for us. So the sooner we can let them make their own choices, the better off they're going to be.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for this edition of Exploring Mind and Body. Thanks for sticking around till the end. As always, thanks for being a part of our True Form Life community. We certainly wouldn't be here without you. More details are at trueformlife.com. That's it. That's all I got. I'm out of here. As always, I'm your host, Drew Taddea, in health and fitness for a better world. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Exploring Mind and Body with True Form Life's Drew Taddea, fitness expert. To find out more about the show, Drew Taddea, or to listen to past shows, visit exploringmindandbody.com.